Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أتأتون الذكران وقال تعالى ربي نجني وأهلي مما يعملون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters that are listening, inshallah, just to continue from our Jumu'ah session. In our Jumu'ah session, we covered the life of one very important Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. And we know that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam have been given a very important responsibility. The first duty given to a Nabi is to make sure that the people in the community understand the importance of Tawheed. Tawheed is very, very important. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second duty given to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam is that they don't fear and tackle the ills of society that they see around. And so very openly they will challenge the people and tell them what is right and what is wrong. They don't have fear for anyone, and they only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is again social reform, a very important duty given to Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And so Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wa salam went to the community of Saddum. And these were people who were unfortunately engaged in shameless acts, sexual perversion, immorality, behayai. And instead of fulfilling their desire lawfully, getting married to a woman, and for a man to have a relationship with a woman, this is the first community that decided, astaghfirullah, that they were to have relationship with the same gender. And so basically homosexuality. And so we have to be very, very careful, my young friends that are here also, and understand, we have this very strong movement, the LGBT community, and we have to understand the Islamic values in everything. And until we don't understand the importance of Islamic values, we will never be successful and we will never be happy in this dunya. You will only be happy in this world when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when we obey Him. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do, that is what we have to do. That is why you will find that the Quran, subhanallah, very openly speaks about the creation of human beings, how you and I were created. Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhan nas, in kuntum fi raybin min al-ba'th fa inna khalaqnakum min turab thumma min nutfa thumma min 'alaqa thumma min mudgha mukhallaqatin wa ghayri mukhallaqatin linubayyana lakum wa nuqirru fil arham ma nasha'u ila ajalin musamma ثم نخرجكم طفلا ثم لتبلغوا أشدكم ومنكم من يتوفى ومنكم من يرد إلى أرض العمر. This entire life cycle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained. Surah Hajj, kitchen ayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then even explains how He created Adam alayhi salam. So that we understand Adam alayhi salam was created, then Hazrat Hawa was created, and how insan came into existence. And how Lut alayhi salatu was salam openly explained to the people who were blinded because of their perversion, sexual perversion. And a very promiscuous society, behayai, like today unfortunately. And they were not to listen to a great Nabi who came to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them. فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. Allahu Akbar. The earth was lifted up from them. They were taken up and smashed back down by Jibreel Amin. وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. And stones rained upon them. Subhanallah. Upside down. Because they were doing things that were upside down. They were doing things that was unnatural. And when you do things that are wrong, eventually what happens, it's not that it doesn't affect you and I. Eventually, after many, many years, it will affect the entire community. And so, I won't repeat the Jumu'ah bayan, alhamdulillah, 50 minutes of that bayan we covered. The halat of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, what he went through. Just an extension to that topic. The tragedy is, my respected brothers, that one is that person who is committing a sin. And when he commits a sin, even if it is pleasure, even if he is doing something that is wrong, but if in his mind he thinks that what I am doing is guna, a sin, then he is still better. There is still virtue for that individual. Why? Because when you take a sin to be a sin, one day Allah will give you hidayat, tawfiq to do tawbah. Because you are taking a sin to be a sin. So if a person, astaghfirullah, is doing something wrong, but in his mind he understands, oh, you know what, I have to keep it quiet, you know what I am doing, Allah forgive me, you know, subhanallah. At least back in the mind he understands that, you know what, I am doing something against my Allah. And that relationship is still there. Not that a person should be doing this. But when you compare this individual to the next one, the next individual is that person who wants to fulfill his desire, but because he is fulfilling his desire, he wants to change the entire Islamic narrative. He wants to change the entire Islamic narrative. The entire ruling of Islam. See, what I am doing is not a sin. The scholars have not understood. The ulama have not understood. The muhaddiseen have not understood. Imam Bukhari has not understood. Imam Muslim has not understood. Imam Malik has not understood. Imam Abu Hanifa has not understood. Imam Shafi'i has not understood. All the scholars have not understood. Only the rainbow community have understood this. The rainbow community have understood this. All the rest of the scholars have got nothing, you know, in common. They don't understand. They are living in a different planet. When you are changing the narrative, this is something very dangerous. When you want to change the rulings of Sharia, then you are asking for trouble. Then you are personally asking Allah that punish me. Allah save us. Very, very dangerous. And this is exactly how Shaitan works. Shaitan, he is such an enemy of the Muslims. He is not satisfied just by you committing a sin. He's not happy. He wants you to commit a sin, but at the same time, your mind must think what I am doing is right. This is the poison of Shaitan. He doesn't just like people committing sins, and then after a while, he goes for Juma namaz and he says, Toba, Astaghfirullah, Allah, I did a lot of sins, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. He doesn't like that. He wants you to stop doing tawbah. He doesn't like you raising your hands to Allah. He doesn't like you coming to the masjid. He doesn't like you sitting to the lectures of the imam. He doesn't like you listening to lectures when you are on YouTube. He wants you so that you watch games, movies, and all the rest of the panchat that is out there. Engage in that. See what is happening in the world. But he stops you. He will not allow you to listen to the Quran. He does not allow you to listen to the Islamic lectures. He won't allow you. And how does he work, my respected brothers? Why are people today in that state that they are prepared to change the ruling of Sharia? Why? It is very simple. Very simple. Shaitan has been given this ability and this power. You see, Shaitan does not put a gun on your forehead. Have you ever seen a shaitan put a gun on your forehead? Has anybody seen that? Have you seen a shaitan put a gun on your forehead? No. He doesn't put a gun to your head. He puts this invisible spray on your chest. What does he do? He puts this invisible spray on your chest. See, if you're coming to the masjid and if you have a perfume bottle, mashallah, and when you spray the perfume, you can't see the color of it, but alhamdulillah, when it touches your clothes, alhamdulillah, have a very good fragrance. There's scent and good smell to it, no? What shaitan does, الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. Allah is saying sudur. He didn't say qalb. Allah didn't give him direct access to the heart, to the chest. So what he does is that he sprays his poison, the vomit, the spewing of shaitan. This is the poison that he sprays, and it's on your chest. What happens when the heart becomes very neglectful and the heart is not in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spiritual heart, then slowly the spray of shaitan goes further down to your heart and it affects the heart. What does it do? It affects the heart. This is what shaitan does. The spraying of this poison, vaswasa. I'm explaining vaswasa, so it's easy for us to understand when we say spraying. Now what happens, my respected brothers, the more spiritually you are strong, the more you are close to Allah, you worship Allah, you pray namaz, you read your Quran, you do your tasbihat, you think of Allah, you are pious, you are muttaqi, it becomes extremely difficult for shaitan to take control of your heart. But if you are weak, then you are just a sitting duck, bas. Then he can put anything in your heart whenever he wants. He can spray you anytime. And every time he will spray you, you will have the desire to commit a sin, number one. If not now, then there is a layer that is put on your heart. And he keeps on doing that. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned this. That is why a person who has got no iman, because shaitan has completely infected his heart, it is infested. And layers upon layers of this poison has covered the heart. That has damaged its understanding of what is right and what is wrong. It is damaged. So when you talk to them about Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Rasulullah, the Quran, about haya, morals, they won't understand. Why? You see, like anesthetic, somebody has sprayed something there for you, it's pain free, you won't even understand. You won't feel any pain. So they become so numb because shaitan has made their hearts completely numb that now they don't understand what is right and what is wrong. Now the only way to get rid of all the darkness that is there, the kufr that is there, is by a blast. What is required? A huge demolition process. What is it? A huge demolition process, a blast. And that blast is when a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. By saying this, with sincerity inside, there is this huge blast that takes place to break the layers of kufr that are inside. And then the more you repeat this, the more you are in control, and the more you say Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Subhanallah, and all of these slowly, slowly, what they are doing is removing the dark layers. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the key to Jannah is your shahadat. Why? Because it is your shahadat, your iman in Islam is the only ni'mat, blessing that can protect your understanding. And so when your heart is completely covered, my respected brothers, that is when shaitan takes advantage. And what he makes you do is that he plays with your aqidah. What does he do? He plays with your aqaid, with your beliefs. And he changes the sharia and how you think of sharia and how you think of the rulings of Islam. So now what he does is that the sin that you are committing, because back in the heart you know what I am doing is haram and guna, there is always a possibility that one day you will change for a better human being. He doesn't like that. So he is going to change the narrative completely. So what he makes you feel like is that you are a homosexual, you are a gay, not a problem. There is not a single verse in the Quran, there is nothing in Islam that says that this is wrong. Don't worry about it. And these are the things that he will sell to you. And astaghfirullah, and how does he insert all these things inside you? You know what he will say? Shaitan makes a person think that, you know what? Allah is the one who made me a homosexual. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Why? Because if you think like that, then you don't feel guilty, do you? That is why in the modern world, the greatest hoax is this lie, sabse bada jhoot. It is the same lie as what they did in Iraq, the khabis, Tony Blair. And what did he say? That they are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And today when you ask anyone, why was Iraq attacked? They will still tell you that because of weapons of mass destruction. But was there any weapons of mass destruction? No. All lies. And so all of these things are lies and lies upon lies. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the creator of evil or sin inside a human being. This you have to understand. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ But you see what happens when you use fancy words to confuse people. That is where our youth get trapped. They go to colleges, they go to university, they listen to the foolish people that are out there. But they don't come to the masjid to listen. Allah only gives tawfiq to special people, to special youth who come and listen. So that they understand what is right and what is wrong. So al-iyazu billah, look at the blasphemy. Look at the blasphemy. The same as once Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was visiting a few people and he met a Jewish man. If I can remember, Tafsir ibn Kathir, Ruhul Ma'ani has mentioned his name, Finhas. Finhas, his name, the Jewish man's name was Finhas. And he started to speak with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and he said that your Allah is in need of money. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking donations from you Muslim. That is why Rasulullah is asking donations from you. So does that mean Allah needs money? And when he said that, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq gave him one slap. Hamari tarah nahi the buzdil log. Forgive me. One slap. Dekha jayega, we'll see. That one girl in India, the video clip has become viral. What is her name? Muskan. Bibi Muskan. Pathan. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And ye sab gidar, all of them that were there. What's happened to the Muslim community? I don't know. I really don't know what's happened to the Muslim community. Can you imagine? Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Allah give some sense to the Muslim community. Alhamdulillah, this girl is showing to the men folks. There is a limit to how much sabr you do. There is a limit of sabr. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam put on his armor. And the Quran has dedicated, the 10th para is full of, you know, the events of Badr. All the paras, 10, 11, you go. All those paras are there. All the masail are there. But anyway, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq gave a slap. So he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that without any reason, he is hiding. Your companion has slapped me, so I must be given insaf. And in Islam there is justice. So I must slap him also in front of all the Muslims that are there. Slap who? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq that you slapped him for no reason. Subhanallah. Even before Hazrat Abu Bakr could give any explanation, Allah revealed the verses. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا. Allah heard what the Jewish community said, that Allah is fakir and we are rich. What did they say? Allah is fakir and we are... Look at the blasphemy. Blasphemy. And how people talk. How people talk. You have to be so careful. Especially in the world that we are living in today. It can easily confuse a person. But we should have a solid rock iman, mashallah. Whatever my Allah has said is the truth. Bas khatam. And so how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create insan and make him faulty? How? This is what the Christians say. This is what the Christians say. That a human being is faulty and he is in this world carrying a sin. Do they not say that? He is carrying a... Even a child who is born is carrying a sin. That is what the Christians are saying. That so all human beings that are born are sinful people. Are they, what sins? Yes, they are sinful. And to make them park and they make, and to make them pure, Jesus came. And Jesus was put on the cross to sacrifice Jesus. After this sacrifice, now a human being is pure. This is their concept. Al-Iyazu Billah, Al-Iyazu Billah. In Islam we don't believe that. In Islam what Allah is telling us, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ. There is no one greater in the creation of Allah than insan. Insan is the greatest creation of Allah. And he is such a great creation of Allah that Jibreel alayhi salam, the carrier of revelation, Mikael, Israfil, Israel, Hamilin, Arsh, and all the angels up in the heavens, the Nurani makhluk had to do sajda to a human being. Why and what is the wisdom that such a pure creation of Allah, la ya'asoon Allah, that they never ever disobey Allah. They never disobey Allah. A creation that does not disobey Allah has to do sajda to a human being, Adam alayhi salam. What is the wisdom? The wisdom is this, to tell human beings that Allah has not created inside you any genes that will force you to commit sins. Allah has not made inside you anything that is of an evil nature, that you don't have a choice and you are going to be committing sins. Allah is saying, I have created you in the most perfect manner. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. By the fig, olives, the valley of Sina and Makkah Mukarrama. Allah takes an oath and Allah is saying, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. There is no one more beautiful than insan. And how dare someone says that in insan there is a gene, or that he is faulty and that Allah made him commit the sins and Allah made him like that. Aliyazu billah. Aliyazu billah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the malaika do sajda to Adam alayhi salam, that insan understands his own worth. That by birth, subhanallah, he is the most pure. By birth, a child, a human being is the most pure. No matter who that baby is, by birth when a child comes in this dunya, he is completely pure and masoom. And this is mentioned by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. And you see what happens today when a community wants to show that, you know what, it's absolutely fine for a person to be a lesbian or a gay person, homosexual. Why? Because nature created him like this. Nature created him like this. That is the biggest lie. Allah does not create such evil nature. It is you that is evil. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are thinking like this because of many reasons. There are many reasons that might have happened to you in your life. It can be sometimes mental health, something is there's something wrong with you. It can be, you know, how your family background might be, how your environment might be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create a nature like that in a human being. In fact, Allah creates this very beautiful nature of a human being, that if he was not influenced by the evil that surrounds him, naturally, even if no Nabi came to him, he would grow up to be a good Muslim. That is the power of nature. But what corrupts a person? Mobile phone, what you are watching, your friends, your Instagram, your Snapchat, who you are talking with, the bloggers, the TV that you are watching, the books that you are reading. You go to college, you go to university, the spray of shaitan is on the corridor walls. The spray of shaitan is on the floor that you are walking. The spray of shaitan is in the books that you are reading. The spray of shaitan is in front of the TV programs that you are watching. Have you got immunity to save yourself? But shaitan makes you think that, you know what, blame. Don't blame anybody. Blame it on such that you don't think that you are committing any guna. You are not committing any sins. When you understand one mas'ala of fiqh is, you will find in the books of fiqh that for a person to become mukallaf means for him to be in that position that the obligations of Islam apply to him immediately. The obligations of Islam apply to him. You will find words like Baligh, is he a baligh person? Aqil, is he sane? What is he? Baligh, aqil. You will find in fiqh. And if a person is not baligh, not mature, or he is so disabled that he doesn't know what is right and what is wrong, then Allah has made him ma'zoor, disabled. And a disabled person will not be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Because Allah has not given him the intelligence. He doesn't know what is right and he doesn't know what is wrong. This is how merciful Allah is. Then how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put inside a human being things that don't allow him to understand what is right and what is wrong? Now a question might be in your heart, then why does a person commit sins? Very simple. A person commits sins because Allah has given him the freedom of choice. That Allah has put in him. The freedom of choice is your individual actions. Liability is with you. If you are driving a car very fast and you have children and your family sitting at the back, and you are driving 120 miles per hour, then you are liable. Liability is with you. You have not taken care of the people that are behind you. So insan has been given this freedom of choice. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah has given him a choice. Allah has said, these are the right things for you to do and these are the wrong things for you to do. Allah said, Lut alayhi salam, sent Lut alayhi salam to say to the people that this sexual perversion and this immorality, behayai, shameless acts that you people are doing, that you are attracted to the same gender. This is from Shaitan. Shaitan is so powerful that sometimes he will put a waswasa in your heart that look at your mother, she looks very nice. This is waswasa. There is no bounds. Sometimes Shaitan will say, look at your sister. Sometimes Shaitan will say, look at that dog. Look at this. There is a man who is married to the cars. And he says, I have a relationship with my cars. You get people like that everywhere. This is what Shaitan does. But this is called waswasa. And waswasa is the arrows Shaitan is pulling all the time. One arrow, he takes another one. Shit, waswasa, waswasa. All the evil waswasa. Thousands of wasawis, evil waswasa. Scan your heart, come in your heart, come in your heart. And the filter is zikrullah. The love of Allah. But when you are weak, then there's a possibility that, you know, something will, you might catch it in the net. And when you catch it in the net, you might take it to be right, and that is how Shaitan then puts that screw into your mind, and your thinking becomes corrupted. Your thinking becomes corrupted. So this is all part of waswasa. He will want you to love the wrong thing. He will make you attracted to the wrong things. You are married, happily married. Happily married. And any opportunity given to him, and if you see a lady, he will make you chit-chat with her and open your heart to her and somehow connect you. He doesn't care. It can be a man, it can be a woman, in relation who that person is. He does not care. As long as you commit a sin. And when you commit a sin, then to make you arrogant. To make you arrogant, to make you feel that you are not committing a sin. Exactly how he trained Pharaoh. Fir'aun was only committing sins. He was doing zulm. But in his zulm, Shaitan tampered with his mind that you're not a zalim, you're not a bad person, you're not doing anything wrong. And eventually, Pharaoh began to feel that because I am a king, whatever I do is right. Whatever I do is right. Because I'm a king. And this is what you'll find in many parts of the Muslim world. If you show any kind of opposition and if you speak against the king, the aqidah becomes that you are speaking against the amir of the time and you are a rebel, and therefore a rebel, we can take you out. And they feel there's no guilt in assassinating someone. They will kill you in their own embassy. They will kill you and bag you and cut you into pieces in their own embassy. And they will sit in front of the Kaaba and say, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Why? Because Shaitan has tampered with your mind. Shaitan played with the mind of Fir'aun. Fir'aun began to think what I do is never wrong because I am a king. Then Shaitan took it the next level. No, 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 no. It's not because you're king, you're God. What did he make him think? You're not a king, what are you? You're God, and of God is never wrong. God is never wrong. And he felt that. This waswasa was so strong in him, he decided he's a God. And he started saying to the people, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. And so my respected brothers and elders, Allah give us the tawfiq. You know, we all have skeletons in our wardrobe and we are all sinful people. Nobody is perfect. I understand that. But when Islam tells you something is a guna, keep it at that level. Understand that you are weak and what I am committing is a guna. Never ever try to change the rulings of Sharia. Never ever try to change the rulings of Sharia. This is very, very wrong. And very quickly, I just wanted to explain here that Shaitan works step by step. If you look at some of the countries, they were very practicing, faith practicing countries. America was a very committed Christian community. But now if you look at it, it's become a very open liberal society. How our country is changing so much? The Western world has completely changed, but the thorn in the neck are the Muslim countries. What is it? The Muslim countries are problematic. And they are problematic only because, alhamdulillah, the ulama are still sitting there. What are they? But even they are now powerless, unfortunately. So how does Shaitan change the world, the system, step by step? So number one, how Shaitan works is a 5-point plan. Many ulama have mentioned this. Number one is to desensitize people from thinking that something is wrong. So what they say publicly in front of everyone, talk about, you know, being a gay or homosexual. Nobody should feel bad about it. The more you put it in front of people, people will get used to it. So use your TV platform, your movies, your books, etc. Everything, talk about it. The more you talk about it publicly, people will no longer feel that this is anything that is wrong with that. Because you are seeing this all the time. Number two, always portray the gay community to be victims. What is it? To be victims. That is mentally how you change the mindset of people. So you see how people will talk. We are being bullied. We are being bullied in schools. We are being bullied at the workplace. We are the victims. We are bullied. We are oppressed. We are persecuted. Look at the narrative people use. And over the years, these are the words you use only. Always play the victim role. What is it? You play the victim role. Whether you are truly victimized or not, no. But you play that role, that you know what, bichara, that way sympathy is there for you with the people. Number three, give some ammunition to the people who possibly can protect you. Who possibly can protect you. So what do? When you talk to people, when you talk to people at the high position, use fancy words. Use fancy words like anti-discrimination. Don't talk about the acts of homosexuality. Put that out. Talk about anti-discrimination. No community should be discriminated. This also will work in a Muslim country. Talk about diversity. Talk about liberty. Talk about your rights. I have a right. Don't discriminate me. I have every right. So these are the words that you use in front of people. Very beautiful words. They don't even really see actually the real act, what you are doing. That is wrong in Islam. But you cover that. And then number four, you make the victimizer look bad. You make the victimizer look bad. So if a Maulana talks about it, you say to the Maulana is extreme minded. What is he? What is he? He is extreme minded. Muslims are intolerant. You see how you use the words. Muslims are intolerant people. Muslims are bigots. Fancy words, bigots. And this is, you are very extreme in your views. When you use these words, then you actually feel the world thinks that, yeah, you know what, maybe we are extreme, maybe we are wrong. And then after many, many years, Shaitan comes with a step-by-step plan. And I just want to cover that so that we understand. First of all, what you do is that you create reform laws that any country that still has got a ban on homosexuality, fight to make it legal. Fight to make it legal. In a Muslim country, you never talk about homosexuality, but you talk about the banning of hudud. What do? The banning of hudud. Hudud means the punishment given to you if you are going to commit a sin in which Islam has demanded that you should be punished. So what you do, you take that as barbaric. You take that to be barbaric. So you work with your embassies, organizations, you put the right people in power in your Muslim country that have this mindset. So this is all barbarism. Number three, legalize LGBT spaces. So it becomes legal Gay Pride Month, February, gay clubs, gay bars, legalize it. Nobody can dare say something to you. Everything is by the law. And then create a protected legal status also. So what happens is that even your marriages are legal. Your marriages are legal. Once you've done all that, the legal side, then you start with the schools. In the schools, you change the school curriculum and syllabus. And you give more power to the teachers than even parents. If the child wants to change anything physically or mentally, the child has got a greater right and the school must assist him. The parents will have no power. And then also change your language, your pronouns. Before it was he said, she said. Now what is it? They said. What is it? Huh? They said. It's they said. Now it's he said, she said, they said. Wallahu alam. And then even in your employment practices, and then eventually what happens, Shaitan takes full control of a system. Full control of a system, and that is how he works with the people. So my respected brothers and elders, I know some of you who don't come to our dars and are here for the nikah, you might be wondering that what topic am I talking about. But in Jumu'ah, alhamdulillah, this was a very relevant topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this not in one verse but in hundreds of ayats about the story of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wa salam. And this is a very serious matter also in our community, that we need to protect the iman of the Muslim community, and we need to understand that a man can only marry a woman. A man can only marry a woman, and a woman can only marry a man. And there is barakat in there. There is barakat in there, alhamdulillah. That is the natural way. There will be many people telling you, do this, do that, do this, do that. But it's okay, you do whatever you want to do. We are Muslims and we follow the way of our religion. And we believe that it is only a man and a woman that get married. So alhamdulillah, these are very important things that we need to understand in front of, you know, Shaitan and the different communities that are out there. If certain people are proud and they take the rainbow as a pride and a sign and something that's symbolic for them, then we are also very proud, and we also take La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Subhanallah as our iman, and we pray to Allah that we die with this iman. We pray to Allah that Allah protect us and Allah protect our progeny also. And these are things that are very important, mashallah, a relevant topic, because inshallah we will conclude the session with a nikah, mashallah. So nikah ki ek majlis hai, inshallah.